I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with that super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. Happy Friday, Big Dave.
Happy Friday.
This week's topic has been the prison of our beliefs. And on Sunday, Stress Mastery Weekend Edition, host Mark Middlestead kicked it off with who we are, why we are here. On Mondays with the Super Millennial, David talked on creativity is the key from your prison. On Health Huddles, we talked on rest the body. In Meeting of the Minds, we did an episode on the identity of should. Yesterday's Connection Thursday, we did a show on vibration in our reality. And today, we will continue our book study, A Pocket Full of Money by David Cameron Gyandi. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
Very good. I mean, yeah, you know how it's going. It's so had a lot of emails, guys, on the Kriya, all right? So in the community, I kind of address this. And there's a reason I don't do shows like I did yesterday. And one of the reasons is it derails your focus. People are asking me, how can they do Kriya? How can they learn Duis? How they can do that? It doesn't work like that, people. You have to transition into this. And it takes incredible amount of discipline, and discipline comes through practices becoming skills over time. You cannot rush into this. So what I did in the community, I actually let Sadhguru explain it, because Sadhguru can explain it better than Bill Courtwright can.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, David, because you've seen the flood come in.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big thing. I think understanding the consistency. There's some people who'll ask who think they are there, and those are the people who don't need it. And the people who are just interested, you know, like I am. I ask questions out of curiosity, but not of wanting to start. And I think that's okay if you want to ask questions in that sense. But if you feel that you want to or you're ready for it, you're not.
And I'm not going to talk about it again. That's just not, it doesn't pay. It doesn't, it's not an ego thing. I don't want to talk about those things, but I felt like I was compelled because I'm really, it was about the doctrine of secrecy. I just don't believe in that anymore. I don't believe there's secret doctrines, but there is time that people are ready. Right. Mm-hmm. It takes, and it does. And listen, don't enjoy yourself. I'll address it a little bit more next week when I talk about how to move it into stage five. Enjoy the process, people. Don't try to rush something that there's no magic. I'm just going to tell you that right now. There is no magic. There's shifts. Yes, you can raise yourself up. Yes, you can move things faster when you're ready. When you're ready. So we are now starting chapter 22 on the book. It's our last chapter, and we'll be doing it in two parts this week and next week. And the reason is, this is the chapter where he's really addressing money. He's talked a lot through the book about wealth consciousness and how to change and shift your mindset, how energy works. Well, now he's going to talk about money. And so I want to take my time to make sure, because this is for the finance category. Our next book is The Book of Joy. So if you want to get ahead and get the book, it's The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. So again, it's The Book of Joy by Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And we will start that book in the next 2 weeks. So you ready, Dave? You ready to rock this?
Let's do it. I'm not happy that the book is ending, but I am excited to hear the last chapter.
You're going to like the new book, though. I really am enjoying that new book, and it came from one of our members in the community, and I'm so excited to do the book. So, all right, chapter 22, Money, How to Use the Symbol. This is worth repeating, for repetition causes internalization. Money is not the real thing. It is only a symbol of the real wealth inside us. We have so far been looking at what makes up the real thing. Even though money is not the real thing, we still need to know how to use it. It is a full circle, a full cycle. Money is the end of many other things that make up wealth consciousness. But it is the beginning of the experiencing of wealth consciousness as material wealth. Money is a symbol of wealth and the beginning of the experiencing of wealth, so that we may know what wealth tastes like experientially. Money has two primary uses. It allows us to exchange our gifts, and it allows us to experience wealth. Through this experience, we are able to increase our wealth consciousness and love it even more. Wealth consciousness begets wealth and money, which begets wealth consciousness, and the cycle goes on. It is a full circle, a full cycle. Let us spend some time on money. Do not be ashamed of money. Do not act as if you are ashamed of it, hiding money, handling it as if it were dirty, being dishonest. With money and other similar attitudes and acts are all detrimental to you if you wish to acquire wealth. This is not a call for you to start bragging. It is a call for you to be honest in all ways with your money. Be honest to the money and about money. Things that lead to dishonesty with and about money, or things that stem from it, eventually damage your wealth. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. I love money and money loves me. Scream this enthusiastically, repeatedly, every now and then, until all feelings of ridicule and guilt and fear of money eventually leave you. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. As you become wealthier materially, it may be in your best interest, depending on where you live, to have offshore specialists look into your affairs and structure them for your maximum safety and benefits. Vehicles like trusts and holding companies in offshore jurisdictions have enabled wealthy people to have peace and continued prosperity for generations. Remember that presently we do need governments, and we must pay our fair part to keep them running. It is our advantage to have government. But government was created to serve people fairly, and when it ceases to act in such a way, when it becomes your biggest hindrance and stressor, and because governments are run by human beings capable of error, they can sometimes oppress instead of enhance. They can sometimes waste instead of create. They can sometimes make laws that are unfair and unjust, even if only for a portion of the population. That is why it is your advantage to structure your affairs very early in such a way that you are both within and outside of government control, instead of remaining totally within it. The freedom is sometimes the key to growing wealth. Sometimes it can even save you from losing your wealth. This call to look offshore is not a call to greed and anarchy. It is a call for freedom and fairness. If you cannot guarantee that your government will be fair to you at all times, you should guarantee that you can step aside or outside safely in the event that it is not. There is no point in taking an unnecessary and lethal blow to your finances in the name of patriotism. Options enable choice. Without options, you cannot choose. Always ensure that you have options in everything. In regard to wealth and many other matters, the options you should seek to guarantee are the option to travel at will when you need to, the option to live in a place where you are happy and safe, and the option to handle your finances in the way that best suits you and your society in your fair judgment. The way to guarantee these freedoms, these options, is to have two legal passports from two separate countries, legal residency capability in two countries with unrelated jurisdiction, offshore bank accounts, and offshore holding or processing companies. That's why I still have my Panama residency, everybody. Just so everybody know, I have that. Asset and income protection arrangements are much like insurance. By the way, you do not insure your house against fire after it burns down. You do it before the fire, in case a fire ever comes your way. But never forget that you have an interest in paying something fair in taxes to keep your government healthy. Even if you find yourself in a position whereby you can escape all taxes, it is a good idea to pay about 10% of your income in taxes voluntarily. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Pay your fair share of tax cheerfully, for it keeps the society alive and in functioning order. It is up to you to determine what is fair. Over the ages, sages and teachers have taught that 10% is the fair amount. Even religious texts have recommended similar tithing arrangements. Mathematically, 10% is also optimal for all involved. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Of your income, devise ways to ensure that you pay about 10% of it in taxes, that you give about 10% to charity, and that you invest 10% in long-term growth and wealth-building investments. Then use the remaining 70% to live, grow, and enjoy life. The added bonus to you using your money to enjoy life is that as you spend money on things, you make others wealthier. As you get immensely richer, if you can live on a lower percentage of your income, then give and invest more. These ratios are designed over the ages to give you and your world the best growth and wealth possibilities for all. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Keep accurate personal and business accounts. Know what happens to your money and where it goes and comes from. Knowing is the first step to mastery of anything, and not knowing where your money goes is crippling. If your cash out exceeds your cash in, your upkeep, staying alive, will be your downfall. You cannot plan and analyze what you do not know. Be careful, however, about managing your finances. This is not a call to stringent, penny pinching, and miserlessness. Do not let your keeping of accurate financial records turn you into a miser, a person who believes that money is in short supply. Keeping accounts is just that, keeping accounts. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Surround yourself with very wise advisors, associates, and employees. The wise person keeps wiser counsel. Have wise counsel in all fields: business, accounting, tax, law, trusts, investments, etc. Pay them well. Pay them on performance. Give them bonuses when they deserve it. Remember, wealth usually flows to those with right knowledge, but the person who gets the wealth does not necessarily have to be the possessor of the knowledge. The wealthy person is often the one who brings together teams of knowledgeable people, even though he or she may not possess the knowledge personally. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Learn to multiply your efforts. One of the best ways to do this is to delegate massively. Delegate almost everything. Every person has certain unique capabilities, but they also share many other things with everybody else. For example, Einstein's special gift was in physics. That is where he varied most from the rest of us. But on all other things, that variance was very low. He walked, wrote, saw, cleaned the house, and did other chores just a little better or just a little worse than we all do. Now, if in a day Einstein insisted on doing absolutely everything in his business, from thinking about physics to drawing charts that anyone else could have drawn to sweeping his floor, he would have ended up with far less time to spend on his unique talents and therefore have realized less from them. A person's unique talents are what makes the person in the world wealthy. Wealthy people usually look at themselves honestly and see what they most enjoy and what they are a whole lot better at than most people. This is an honest look. What you are best at may be strategy, marketing, innovation, flying, driving, or anything else. You may also be good at a whole lot of other things, maybe even slightly better than most people, but that is beside the point. The real question is, what are you fabulous at? Not just good, but fabulous. The only other question is, what is it that you really enjoy and cannot stop doing? Don't say, I can clean the floor better than my cleaner, for even if that is true, it is self-defeating. All that matters is what you are better at by far than anyone else and what you enjoy. Then do only that thing and delegate everything else. Don't worry that people will not do the rest as well as you would have. Sound familiar, David? Just curious.
Yeah.
Are you learning? Are you learning? Good, good. Continues. Imagine if Bill Gates tried to do everything at Microsoft. What good would that do him or the rest of us? A person like Bill Gates is focused on what he does best and what he enjoys most. He delegates all the rest, even if he can do some of it better than his helpers or his employees can. In addition to that, people like that recognize that there are many things that other people are a lot better at doing than they are themselves. Delegation multiplies efforts and results. Put it in your thinking and your goals to delegate almost everything in your business except for the one thing you are exceptionally good at and what you enjoy most, even if it's just dreaming up new ideas. To the extent that you delegate to the right people, so shall you become more productive and hence wealthier. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Everything he said there is the way I live my life.
Yeah.
Took me a long time to learn that. Took me a long time. I hope you guys are listening well, because this is how I do everything. I don't do anything that somebody else can do, even if I can do it better. But I get to do what I love to do every single day. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
And I know I'm talking in the middle of the book, but it's such an important point. I want to make sure I get that out there. Because if I had to say one thing that really served me, was figuring that out at a pretty young age.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, and I know it's weird for us to talk in the beginning of the book, that's something that I realized that I want to do as I progress, is I'm doing the stuff I don't want to do now so I can have somebody do it later when I get to that opportunity.
Seasons, son. Seasons.
Yeah.
I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Increase the rate at which you get ideas. Read books and magazines for a few minutes each day at least. Learn to read faster. The more new ideas you get, the better. Get a speed reading course or a book. Guys, you don't need a speed reading course. Audiobooks. Constantly playing audiobooks. To find good books, use Amazon user rating to see what readers like you have found useful in their lives. Read magazines in all areas of life to get a broad picture of the world. The best thing about magazines is their images. They feed the imagination of your goals. I am wealth. I am abundance. I am joy. Another way to look at making money is to view it as a change of thought causing a shift in the way energy in the universe is exchanged. This is not so that you may start living like this, but just so that you may see, and simply changing your thoughts causes a rearranging of energy in the universe that can lead to increased wealth. Let us see how that works historically. Thousands of years ago, people were hunters and gatherers. This was a dangerous, unpredictable way to live. The desire to have more stability and safety caused human beings to think, why do I have to chase after these goats in the wild every day? That led to the idea that the goats could be kept at home, domesticated. Now, instead of chasing after goats every day across the grass plains, man brought them together in an enclosure, fed them the same grass from the plains. And even before this new idea, there was always an abundance of grass, land, and goats but no one had thought of changing the arrangement for domesticating the goats. The idea simply changed the way the different forms of energy were exchanged. A desire for a better life caused a thought that caused betterment in the standard of living. Using the same material that had always been there, a change of thought pattern caused this. Next, human beings desired to reduce their hardships further by acquiring items they needed but did not have. They first did this by going to war with tribes that had these items. Then they desired a much safer way to acquire these items, which led to the idea that they could trade. Again, they improved their lives simply by rearranging their thoughts, causing a change in the way energy in various forms was exchanged. Trade went along fine. The only problem was the long distances people had to carry their goats to exchange them for a bag of wheat in the next village. The desire to exchange faster and more efficiently led to the idea, instead of everyone walking all over the place, people could instead meet at one central spot and show other goods and trades. Thus, a market was formed. Again, look at it closely. All the ingredients had always existed, but the idea that it could be done had not. The desire for something better caused the idea that caused a shift in the way energy forms were exchanged. Remember the law that says energy is either created nor destroyed. It only changes form. A market did not drop from the heavens on these people. They simply changed their thought patterns and it was done. Today, the desire to trade even faster has caused us to have currency markets and stock exchanges. Imagine a time when a trader had to walk a half a day to the market, sell one cow, then walk back home. At least they got their cardio in, right? All right. Next came trucks and farmers could drive several cows to the market and be back home early enough to do another trip. Then came futures and options exchanges, which enabled people to buy and sell thousands of livestock futures and options in seconds without having to get up or move a single cow. Yet, nothing dropped from the heavens. It was all right there. People just desired differently. The desire took an infinite coordination of dozens of seemingly unrelated events to end up with a high-tech futures and options market with no need to move the cow at a time of trade. The sequencing of everything needed to end up with a result that enabled faster trade and better profitability was unpredictable. But because the desire was there, nature fulfilled us. But let us go back into the past. The Agrarian Revolution came along and people from their desire for more wealth ended up with ways of improving farming. Again, they simply desired, and that desire led to thought, and what had always been there was rearranged. Nothing dropped from the heavens. But even then, it took a king 3 generations to build a good-sized home, accumulate a fair collection of possessions. The average person did not even think it was possible for them to live in a multi-room brick house with certain amenities. That was for kings and queens. Today, life is different. We are born assuming from observation that a house is something that we shall automatically have to live in, and that we should automatically have clothes and certain other things that were reserved for royalty in the past. It does not even cross your mind for a moment that you will lack certain things, yet people in the past struggled for generations to get those same things. We have a certainty that they did not have. The point here is, see the powerful effects of certainty on an individual level and on a wider scale. Certainty of thought causes massive shifts in the way energy is rearranged. A massive upshift in certainty of thought and in desire for something better always leads to a massive shift in the way energy is rearranged for a better life. So I think I'm going to stop there, David. And we'll pick this up to finish off the chapter next week. But it was a powerful beginning of this chapter. And he's now talking about building wealth, people. He's talking about money. I know that some of you might not want to hear because everybody loves the spiritual stuff. But you guys got to learn how to deal with money and cutting out the stress. And my first, and I'll give you just my, everything he talked about, I do in there, right, David? Everything.
Yeah.
So I would say the first thing is you need a really good accountant. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because we have a great one.
The best accountant. How long has he been with me?
I don't even know.
30 years. He did my taxes when I lived in Panama. He's done my taxes all these years. He is a magic man. And yes, we have to pay taxes, but I will pay as little as possible, and I'll do it all legally because I work hard for my money. And yes, I do believe that you have to pay your part, but I don't have to pay my more than my part. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
And you have to have somebody to guide you when it comes. You have to have a good accountant. If you think you're doing your accounting online, you are not building wealth.
You're going to end up like Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. But it's the truth. I'm not saying that because now people want to do it online. They want to save money. They don't want to have it. I'm telling you, if you're going to build wealth, you need somebody to guide you. And that person will look over everything that you need. Your thoughts, David?
Yeah, I think...
Your thoughts on anything in this chapter?
Well, I think just to touch on that, I think in the beginning, you know, like when you're transitioning into running a business or anything like that, because that's kind of where he was really pushing within this chapter. You know, that's what I was getting for me. And like you said, in the middle of it, it's seasons. Maybe it doesn't make sense now, but it does make sense if you want to maximize kind of like your enjoyment of work and the reward that you're getting out of it. Because everybody on the outside is going to take from you as much as they possibly can. You need to give what you should and keep what you deserve. And I think that's why an accountant is so important. You pay someone to make sure you're getting the best out of it. The
other thing, you need somebody good. You need somebody who can look at, like, our accountants looked at international laws, looked at all these different things, because he's right. Keeping money offshore is smart because there's different laws. There's different. Because I'm a resident of Panama, I could pay Panamanian taxes, much less taxes than I would pay in the United States. And it sounds like I'm kind of playing a game. It's a little bit of a game, but I don't play the game. I'm not smart enough to do that. I have to have somebody around to advise me to do it. And what's best for Bill? It really is, because I got to take care of me so I could take care of my family. Now, a big thing in this chapter, and we're kind of living this now, and David, as we're growing the business, I'm watching you learn. I want you to learn from the mistakes I made, because from the experiences, is that desire. Desire is your spark from within. When he was talking about how the human being had a desire, that's what creates change. Not want. Want and desire are two different things. We've explained that. But look at our desire to bring in the right partners and to do everything we did. Wow. Could it be any better? Could we possibly have it more perfect than we have it laid out right now? And that's the exact vision we set 5 years ago. I mean, exactly. Right?
Yeah. I think that's a big thing that I started to understand too, is that it's not, you know, grabbing at the first one because they flash one part of what you put out. If we would have done that, we would have imploded or went downhill so much like years ago. But once we found somebody that filled in all the spots, you know, instead of that overnight, you know, oh, this could change our lives tomorrow. Yes, it may, but will it only last a week? Will it last a month or 2 years, 3 years? We want this to, I know from just the way that you're talking, the way I want this to be here long gone past me. And I don't think, you know, taking that quick action will ever get to that point. So I think that's a great way. And we never forced it.
Never. And that was discipline, because there, like you said, there were opportunities that came that looked really good, because here we're working our ass off and then comes there and then nope, we can't go. It's not right. And for me, right has to be in flow, because what he said in there is the way I live my life. I don't do anything I don't want to do. And the things that need to get done, I have somebody doing them. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my kids always joked, Dad does not change a light bulb. He doesn't know how. He doesn't do anything around the house. Nothing. So if Linda was marrying me to take care of the house, she married the wrong person, because I hire people to take care of the house. Why? Because I'm busy doing what I'm supposed to do. Does that make sense? And that is not the background you come from, and it's not the background I come from. And some people can look at me, and you guys tease me all the time. You said, well, you're going to be getting rid of everything. You got this new bike. You better learn how to fix it. Well, little does David know, I'm going to find the first damn bike shop, because that's who's going to fix my bike. Am I right or wrong?
Just hope that battery don't die. You're in the middle of nowhere.
I can pedal. Yeah. I can pedal, son. I can pedal. Yeah. But what's important to me, David, is that you're learning this, because you're going through the experiences and seeing it. You don't have to go through a bunch of failures and falling down. You can learn that you might save money doing everything yourself, but it's foolish, because you will never, ever expand far enough. You only have so much vibration to work a day. And if you want that vibration to be in prosperity, you can't be like he said, Albert Einstein can't be doing his floors, because he's better at doing the floors, because he's got to be busy, you know, figuring out, you know, quantum, right? That's what he's supposed to do, correct?
Yeah. For me, the way that I understand this is, I hear a lot of people when I see posts on social media, it was like, can I be rich yet? You know, why am I wish I was just rich. You know, this is what it means to just be rich, where you got the business running. Now you can afford people to do the day-to-days that you don't want to do, the stuff yep. that allows you to enjoy it, but you're not giving up. You're not retiring. This is how you enjoy working. Exactly. You know, as we start to go, like the label company, you guys heard me talk about hundreds of different revisions that we've done with the labels and all this. Now I have a graphic designer that's working on the box, that's doing the edits, that's doing this, because we got to the point where it's, you can pass okay. it off and it's you time. Can continue. Yep. It's not that I'm not, he's better than me, or, you know, vice versa. It's just now that I'm not spending 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day on that, I can do it on other things that I should be doing. That's allowing us to all grow and continue.
Exactly. Going and everybody in our company, we try to put them in their position, what they love to do.
Yeah.
Right. Patrick loves to do what he does. And I don't. And definitely the new people coming in, man, they love looking at numbers and spreadsheets and the P&L statements. And me, man, I can look at them, but I want to draw my eyes out. I just want to see the numbers, right? That's what I want to see.
Show me so I know they're done.
Show me that everything's rolling. We're doing fine. But you got to have people that you trust also. That's yeah. why when you talk about partnerships, people, you got to partner with people that their strengths are your weaknesses or things you don't want to do. And your strengths are something they don't do. And then when you put it all together, you create a unit that's unstoppable. That's the way we're building this company. Exactly how we're building it.
Yeah, everybody's an asset to everybody.
Exactly. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. And you can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Those links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.